Fires always held a particular fascination for humans. Those that are really fascinated by it are called pyromaniacs, right? Luckily, we don't have any of you here today. But it keeps us warm. It lights our way. We cook our food with it, right? And in Greek mythology, Prometheus stole it from Zeus and gave it to humans, you know? And to celebrate the passing of fire from Prometheus to humans, the Greeks started relay races, right? Athletes would pass the torch to one another until they finally reached the finish line. And that eventually became what? The Olympic Games. And the Olympic torch relay started when? Last week. And it will continue passing that torch until the games start on August 5th. Now, I don't think it's any easy thing to participate in the Olympics, right? You don't just decide one day, well, I'm going to go to the Olympics. Well, you might if you buy a ticket to be a spectator, but not if you're going to be a participant. You have to keep your eye on the goal, right? You got to work every day. You got to practice in order to be that. And to reach your goal, you have to kind of carry that torch, right? A torch of passion that you want to get there. And you got to keep that fire burning until you get to that finish line. Now, I've noticed for myself, might be true of you too, that it doesn't take a lot of effort to start something, right? Like a diet or exercise program. None of you have ever started those, right? I think starting is pretty easy. What's the hard part? Finishing it and keeping it going is difficult. So, and any two people, like, for example, can get married. But it takes commitment, doesn't it? To be able to stay married. And anybody can have a dream and want to accomplish something, but it takes commitment and a passion in your gut to be able to do that as well. Anybody can have that dream, but the question is not really, will you start then, is it? What's the question? Will you keep the fire lit long enough to get to the finish line? You know, I think most people start out with these big dreams, right? But do most people accomplish these big dreams that they have in mind? No, because they start real well, but along the line somewhere, you know, hardship starts coming up. There's obstacles. And a lot of times people just what? They just quit, don't they, right? So what we have to do as Christians is to know that when we're tempted to quit, we have to remind ourselves that God didn't create us to quit. What did God create us to do? To finish, right. Easier said than done, isn't it? It's hard to keep your enthusiasm up, isn't it, when everything starts going wrong in your life? But I know, have you ever built a fire? Yeah, a bonfire. All right, and you're out there and you're enjoying it, but eventually what happens? It'll go out, right? If you don't keep doing what? Keep building the fire. And I think the same thing is very true for our faith. You know, the apostles, they were so excited when Jesus was living, right? And that fire was burning really hard. And then what happened? Jesus died. They went and hid. I think the fire was pretty low. But then Jesus came back to the resurrection. And then what happened? Whoosh! The fire's burning really hard again, and then what happened? He left, right? You see, for all intentions, that fire actually had been lit in Jesus. Was it lit in them? No, because what did Jesus promise that Jesus was going to send? He's going to send the Holy Spirit, right? So they're back in Jerusalem, and all of a sudden come these tongues of fire and the whoosh, wind pushing through there. You know, God is not a God of subtlety. God will get your attention, right? Something like that. Can you imagine 3,000 people being baptized? Can you imagine 3,000 people doing that? And when you sometimes think, we look at that and it's like, well, that was then, right? But you know what? If you keep reading that passage, you find out that they weren't the only ones that received the Holy Spirit. This is what they went on to say. The promise is for you. It's for your children, for all who are far off, from all whom God has called. That means the Holy Spirit is here for who? Trevor and Doug and JR, all of you here. everyone that God has called. And you wouldn't be here if God hadn't called you. Now, did they receive the Holy Spirit? This is a test, see how much you were paying attention to the scripture reading. Did they read the Holy Spirit and then do nothing? What did they then do? Okay, you flunked. They committed themselves to studying and learning all about what the apostles were teaching. They committed themselves to getting together in community and eating together and remembering. They committed themselves to reaching out and serving others, right? And they committed themselves to praise God for everything in their lives, right? And because of what they were doing, it tells us that many, many more were saved. In fact, look throughout the year of the millions and billions of Christians that have been touched because somebody was lit with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, you know what? This sounds like a church I'd really like to belong to, doesn't it? Where everybody's on fire with the Holy Spirit and you just can't wait to share your faith with somebody else. And I think to myself, but I know in this day and age how easy it really is to become discouraged, and especially when you look at the current state of the church, which isn't the most uplifting thing in the world, right? It's really easy to quit inviting people to church because, you know, well, what if they don't like it? I might be embarrassed, and then what will I do if they don't like it, right? What if they tell me no? And it's easy, I think, to become really indifferent about learning more about God in your life and saying, oh, that stuff's not to me. And it's really easy, I think, to say, come sit in your ways and say, you know what, I think I'm pretty happy with who I am. I don't have to get any better. Is that kind of easy? Are you like me? Is it pretty easy to get kind of apathetical about your faith, about the person you're supposed to become, right? And it's pretty hard to pass a torch of faith to somebody else if yours is barely burning. Let me tell you something. The enemy is only too happy to see it happen. We decide we don't need to know anything else. We don't have to learn. We don't have to reach out there. That's somebody else's job, you know? The enemy's only really glad, too, if you let your fire dwindle out, you know? Loves it. The enemy loves it when you allow ourselves to become discouraged, when you allow ourselves to just settle for the status quo. That's what it is. Guess there's nothing we can do about it, right? Not my responsibility, it's Pastor Jan's. But we have to keep moving in our faith, don't we? What happens to fire again when you stand still and you do nothing for it? It's going to go out. Our fire, though, is fueled when we let the Holy Spirit breathe it in and let it live in us. God has given it to us. But when we let the Holy Spirit lead our lives and guide us and help us with the choices that we make, if the Holy Spirit can start a revival like the day that we read about those thousands of years ago, He can do that in your life. He can do that in our church. And I believe at one time this church was lit on fire. It was growing. It was vibrant. And you know what? And you've been doing this for 125 years this year. Did you know that? Right? And when you chose to move into this building, the fire was burning brightly. You just knew you're on fire. All these people were coming. The plans you made, the building, right? But little by little, what happened to that fire? It started to go out, didn't it, you know? And the enemy would want nothing better than this to go back to being a meat market. You know that, right? You know, I know that we've had some really big obstacles as a church. There's the financial building problems. There's keeping this up. Sometimes there's little fights that we happen to have. Conflict is inevitable, right? Leaving is not. You know, we need that Holy Spirit, I think, today. We need it to relight the fire in our bellies, relight our love of our faith. You know, the Apostle Paul had huge, huge burdens that he was bearing. I mean, the enemy had to be going, I got Paul, because, you know, he's in prison, right? He can't preach anymore to the churches. He can't get out there. He can't create disciples. And it would have been far easier for him to say, I guess that's it. God has finished using me, right? He's alone. He's in a dungeon. He's on death row. I mean, how much worse could it have gotten, right? He still had that pain in his side. We don't know what it was. He could have quit. He could have not spread God's word. But even when he was in chains, the enemy couldn't get him to do what probably most of us would do. And since he couldn't speak publicly, what did he start doing then? He started writing. You're right, he's writing Ephesians, he's writing Colossians, Philippians. Others thought maybe he was being stopped. But look, here we are, well over 2,000 years later, and who's still being influenced by what he did when the enemy said, ha, you're done, right? We have that same mission as Paul did, that same mission as the apostles, to make disciples in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, we have obstacles, but that doesn't have to stop us because God's grace will see us through. Paul says, I finished my race with joy in my heart. Finished with a smile on his face, I'm sure, you know. Did what God called him to do. You know, we all have things come against us. We all lose our passion that threatens to take that fire out of us, whether it's the church or it's something that we're involved in or a dream that we're chasing. There's always something that's going to come up because you have to realize the enemy doesn't care if you start. The enemy does not want you to finish. So I think as a church, we have a question that we have to answer. Are we going to finish the race? Why did God put us here 125 years ago? Because we have a race that we have to finish running. So are you going to finish the race with songs of praise, thanking God for all the new disciples that are going to come into the family? Are you going to let the fire burn out? Maybe it's a question you should ask yourself. There it is on the screen. Read it. Are you going to finish the race with songs of praise, thanking God for all the new disciples that have come into our family? Or will you let the fire burn out? As the worship team comes forward, I'm going to invite you today to light a candle as a symbol of reigniting that faith, reigniting that desire to be this fire to the nations, to have that fire in your belly again that you used to have, to know that people need God in their lives. I'm asking you to let that Holy Spirit, like that tongue of fire, come down on you and come into your heart again. And once you've gotten your candle lit, I want you to light the neighbor as a symbol that you are going to pass the flame to somebody else, because if you don't, who will? Back in the 1968 Olympics, there was a Tanzanian runner, and he was running at the head of the pack, but then there was a collision, and he fell. He just located his shoulder and his knee. Hours and hours later, the stadium was, all the lights were almost off, everybody was gone, and here comes that Tanzanian runner, and he comes in to finish that last lap. And a few people saw him, and they start applauding him. And the closer he got, the more they applauded him. They finally asked him, why didn't you drop out of the race? And he said, my country didn't send me 7,000 miles to run the race. They sent me to finish that race. This church weren't created to just to run the race. You were created to finish. So finish your course. Keep that fire burning.
This world can be cold and bitter. It's like when the dead of winter, waiting on something better. But am I really gonna hide forever?
Over and over again, I hear voice in my head.